Hello, welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, December 9th, 2020.
Bitcoin is holding stable, but is up about 1% to 18,385, while Ethereum is up about 2.75% to $563.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does tax tracking for crypto and DeFi, as well as gain loss reporting, crypto invoicing, and crypto accounting. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So let's discuss first Monero's ongoing network attack problems.
Yeah, this is really interesting. We won't spend a lot of time on this because it's very technical, but everyone, you might know Monero. It's a cryptocurrency that's privacy focused out there. It was originally a fork of Bitcoin, as most of these were, but it focused on sort of two different technologies. The main one is it uses these things called ring signatures to do highly secure anonymized transactions. So essentially, you go in to send money, coinage to somebody else. What ends up happening is that you basically find it's you and 10 random people all join together and sign your coins all at once. It ends up being kind of a random, it looks random coming in, it looks random going out. You know, through this signing, this sort of ring signing mechanism, you can have high guarantees, or not high guarantees, but you can have some amount of guarantees on anonymity. So it's a privacy focused coin. What's super interesting is that someone has been attacking them on their privacy side, and doesn't really, like, it's not an organization, because there's not much money to be made on this kind of attack. Someone is essentially attacking them purely as a troll, which is kind of interesting. And part of what they've been doing is they've been trying to de-anonymize transactions. And there are ways of doing that. You know, one of the ways is that the first node that sees a transaction, when I broadcast a transaction to the Bitcoin blockchain, the first node that sees my transaction can infer certain things from the transaction and from my IP address. If you set up a lot of nodes, so if you boot up, you know, 10,000 computers all around the world, and you tie into the different, and you tie into the, to these, you run, you know, Monero nodes or blockchain or Bitcoin nodes, and you connect to different nodes all over the world, you actually have a really good chance of seeing transactions early on when they first get transmitted. So this person's doing that. Like they're running all these different things. This article is super interesting because it goes through a lot of different attacks. One of them, you know, a lot of them were designed to, well, the way the crypto networks work, like Bitcoin, is you have two sets of nodes that are out there. You have the miners who are actually, you know, doing the hard math problem to mine Bitcoin. And then you have people that are just sort of altruistically running nodes. So people who are interested in the strength and integrity of the network, people who want to have high guarantees on their own security for their transactions, they just run nodes. If you lose control of a big chunk of those nodes, you can disrupt the network. You aren't putting, you know, unless you are actually mining on those nodes, you're not putting the blockchain itself at risk, but you can really cause a lot of problems. Like this person is causing different nodes to get out of sync. They're doing these sort of these de-anonymizing attacks. They're potentially, you know, running code that makes it so that your transaction may never get picked up on the blockchain. It's really interesting. It's really interesting to see. There's a lot to be learned here from various other projects across the board. So I think it's really nice that Monero has done just an enormous amount of work to defend against it, to better handle Sybil attacks, which is a 50% attack against the nodes on their network. And there's a lot to be learned here. So this is really interesting. We'll tweet out the story. If you have any technical expertise here, go and read about it. If you're interested in privacy coins in general, I think this is the way I interpret this is, honestly, I think it's a tick in the good column for Monero, because it shows that they have an active enough community with enough interest to address non-state actor attack on their infrastructure. And they've done a pretty good job on it. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, next, Bitstamp apologizes after posting a report calling XRP toxic waste.
Yeah, so there's two parts about this. One is the report itself is newsworthy, and then Bitstamp tweeted it out and then immediately retracted it. The big one is that this is it's a report by the Messari, which is a crypto analyst fund, and they've done reports over the years, and they've more often than not been somewhat inflammatory. In this case, they called it, they said XRP is toxic waste, and Stellar, Lumens, and Litecoin are both pieces of SH blank blank. So I, you know, it's funny. I tend to agree with this, actually. So I thought it was really funny. You know, if you're an exchange, you really do have to keep good or you should try to keep relatively good terms with all the various coins that are out there and companies, especially XRP. XRP has a lot of money and they do a lot of advertising. So exchanges, and I actually think that there's been in the past, I can't remember exactly when, but there have been times when XRP was selling, was paying exchanges to actually list their coin or paying exchanges to do integrations with them because, again, they have so much money. But this, you know, it's worth going and reading this report because I totally agree. Like Litecoin was used to be a really interesting project. What Litecoin was, it was a Bitcoin fork where what would essentially happen is that prototype and early code would go into Litecoin. And if it worked really well and everything worked, like went well with that in Litecoin, it would eventually get ported over to Bitcoin. That's where some of the first block limits were. And then the opposite of actually opening up the blocks. There was someone who worked on it, Charlie Mew, probably got that wrong. But he we'll tweet out whatever it was. I think it was Charlie Mew. But he essentially sold all of his Litecoin and left the project. At that point, Litecoin now is more or less, you know, it's a dead project for all intents and purposes. There's really not much innovation happening there. So I agree with that. And then XRP, you know, we've talked about for the last, like, you know, every day for the last few weeks, for some reason, they've just been all over the news. Again, because they have a ton of money from the way they did their coin sale. So, I tend to agree with it. But it's just really funny that then Bitstamp had to come out and retract that and say, no, we don't think that this is a toxic waste. That's only the opinion of the report writer. So go and read the report. It's really interesting.
Great. So Bitwise's crypto index fund is now trading through U.S. brokerage accounts.
Yeah, over the counter. So Bitwise created an over-the-counter ticker to track their index fund. It's a top 10 crypto index fund that's market weighted. So if you have access to over-the-counter securities right now, you can go and potentially buy this. It's BITW. The coins that they are tracking are Bitcoin, obviously, Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, as we've been sitting here talking about. So Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Litecoin. So that already sort of shows you, like, the way that people look at these is that, you know, it's that when as people are going to be going into index funds, we've spent a lot of time over the last week talking about index funds. Index funds are not a panacea for intelligent investing. I mean, this is not and I would even say that this is like it's not even equivalent to a Vanguard fund because XRP and Litecoin are legitimately orders of magnitude riskier and less consistent than Ethereum and Bitcoin. So, you know, you're mixing. You're the third and fourth largest weighted coins in the index fund are the riskiest. I don't know. It seems very strange to me. And you should be really, you know, it's so easy to buy coins that I'm not sure it doesn't make sense just to run your index, you know, buy the coins you want at the proportions you want. Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, which I think is reasonable. It's a spending coin. The way I look at the world, Chainlink is a great coin. Obviously, one of the big winners in the DeFi space. Cardano is coming after Ethereum. Is doing a smart contract focused blockchain and sort of going after Ethereum as much as possible. Stellar Lumens, we just talked about that. They were doing a smart contract chain as well. They really nothing's happened with them and their coin is pretty worthless. EOS, I kind of put that in the same bucket. And then Tezos, which is also doing a smart contract focused chain. You know, basically there's no real diversity. It's kind of like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Bitcoin Cash. Those are sort of three separate big buckets. You have store of value coin, smart contract coin, and then daily spend coin. Chainlink is obviously a DeFi coin. And then they just threw in a bunch of other random stuff here that are all kind of smart contract-ish kind of coins that are all sort of highly speculative. So I don't really love the basket that they set up here, to be super honest. I would rather have seen a lot of other, you know, I would have rather seen Dash and other kind of representative coins from different use cases. But, well, yeah, whatever. It is what it is. So you can go and buy this right now, BITW.
All right. Well, JP Morgan says gold will suffer for years because of Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think this is a super interesting argument. I mean, essentially, they're saying that inflation hedges and inflation hedges are a zero sum game. So by this argument, I don't think it's fair to say, you can't just say gold will suffer. You have to make the argument. And this they did not make this, so I take exception with them. But you have to make the argument that oil stocks will suffer, real estate will suffer. Like basically there's all these different inflationary hedges that we have in the US markets. Bitcoin will take a bite out of all of those. I don't think it's necessarily zero sum. I think that there's so much money being printed right now that there is a lot of inflationary hedges to be made. So I think that that overall market is growing. So there will be some trade-offs there, but I don't think it's as bad as they say.
All right. And that'll do it for today. Thank you as always for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Have a good one.